Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Hallelujah. This morning I want to just simply converse with you a little bit, and I want to share something I believe is very important. Something that we can almost always, when we read the Word of God, always gloss over this particular topic. We've understood over the several weeks that we've been having our series and in conversation, we've discussed on how important it is for us to always keep that desire to serve the Lord. In fact, that is our major desire here at Rock of Ages, to always serve the Lord with everything that we are and to serve Him in the best way that we can. Can you say amen? That's our desire. Every time someone prays from this pulpit, we always pray, Father, make us the people that are agreeable to You. Make us the people that make You happy. Let us bring joy to the heart of God. And knowing that here in this place, and not only here, we pray for the rest of the existing church around the world, those who carry the cause of Christ in their heart, that the Lord would find us pleasing to worship Him, to love Him, and to praise Him the way He wants us to. And that is our desire here at Rock of Ages. And this morning, we're going to be approaching a part of our faculty, our being, that sometimes is ignored, but yet is a very important part of our living in our lives that God wants us to pay attention to. This morning is Communion Sunday. It's always a great time to celebrate Communion Sunday. We celebrate it every first Sunday of the month. It's always a special time because, as you know, it once again takes us to a place where it reminds us of our intimate relationship with Christ and the meaning of salvation and what He did for us. You know, we are a very busy people. There is no question about that. We have several business people here and people that work in offices and management and everywhere in sales and all kinds of things that we do here at Rock of Ages. So we can lead a very busy life, all of us. And sometimes because of our busyness in the day, you might agree with me that sometimes, because we are indeed so busy, it loosens our focus just a little bit sometimes in our walk with God. Not that you become ungodly or that you become unfavorable unto God in any way, but somehow you disconnect from your spiritual walk because you're busy with this terrestrial walk that we have, the obligations and the responsibility. Even though we're still coming to church and we're still praying, we're still doing all these things, singing, worship and everything. But sometimes it has this certain polarity that pulls us out a little bit from the intimacy, if you will, from the true joy of salvation. At least it happens to me sometimes. It's not because I love God any less. I know it's not because you love God any less, but sometimes you're just too busy. You get involved in so many things. But all of a sudden, the first week of the month comes around and you have Communion Sunday, and it seemed to draw us to the reality once again. So that's why I'm always thankful for Communion Sunday. Though every Sunday that we come together and we speak on God's Word and we pray for each other and ask the Spirit of the Lord to move in our lives, it's always a special time. But there's something special about Communion Sunday. It really brings us to the whole idea and fact of us in Christ and living our lives in light of who He is deep within us. It reminds us of the blessed hope and comfort and peace that we have in Him. Now, I want to take us, if you can, in your imagination, just for a moment, to that table when the Lord called His disciples. After all, this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to participate of this bread. But I want to take you to the table. And I want us to sit there with Christ, and I want us just to hear just a simple phrase, a few words that He said that we're going to use as a foundation for our conversation this morning. And I believe there's great relevance in what He said, great reason for Him saying what He said at this table. You may remember when He called them in, He told them how He longed to sup with them. So He takes them to this place. And as He begins to pray and He parts the bread, takes the drink, and when He told them to partake of the bread and take the drink, He said these words. He said, do this in remembrance of Me. That's what Jesus said. That is to say, whenever you drink this cup and you take this bread, I want you to gather your thoughts at this table, at this very intimate moment. Bring to this table of fellowship your focus, your total attention to our relationship. I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. And invite you to examine your thoughts. I want us to think for a moment about how we think, the pattern of our thinking. The examine the way we think and the way we put things together and what we allow to dwell deep in our minds on a daily basis. Especially in this world that we live in today and the age for some of us, some old guys like me. You'll agree that over these many years you will have created a lot of memories. There's a lot of thoughts, a lot of philosophies you've heard, a lot of ideas, a lot of input that you've heard the world and people around you give you. So you are a filing cabinet of memories and thoughts. Every single one of us. I often talk to young people, and I know sometimes it's just not kosher for them, or it's a drag to talk to me because it seems like everything they say, I have a story to tell about that. Isn't it that way with older people? Amen? Yeah, don't talk to a pastor, man. He's long-winded. Yeah, you can't tell him that you rode your bike because he'll take you 50 years ago when he rode a bike down a canal and dogs chased him or whatever. It always has a story. Point being that our minds are filled with memories all the time. I don't know how many of us have really paid attention that it's important for us to know what takes residence in our minds. And that it's really important to us, and it's really important to God, and should be even more so to us as well. To know and or pay attention to what inhabits our minds on a daily basis. We need to understand that there is great power in thinking. There is great power in memories. Did you know that the way we think and the memories we allow to guide us on a daily basis are the things that normally direct us and give us purpose, desires, and hopes in life, especially also in our walk with God? I want us to leave this day understanding that when the Lord offers us deliverance, He didn't simply offer us deliverance in our bodies. Physically, every time we pray, we seem to pray for physical healing. Amen. This hurts, or pastor's going through this, or pray for this person, or pray for them. They're going through these things. We pray for physical needs, and it's proper and it's right. We are told so. We often pray for material needs. We're lacking in our homes these things, and, you know, they're suffering. And, well, let's pray. Let's provide. The church is such a giving body of believers that we give people who are suffering and going through the pain of lack, if you will. So these things God put in place to be able to help us and to benefit us. But you ever stop to think of how many times we've stopped to pray over someone who is struggling in their minds? We sometimes, and so many times, leave that part of our existence out. When was the last time you asked a brother, "Can I pray for you, brother?" He said, "Yeah, well, you know, man, I'm going to lose my job, or I'm praying for a management job." And instead, maybe you would say, "Brother, can I pray for your mind, for your thinking? What's wrong with my thinking?" It's seldom addressed when it really is important for us to pay attention to our thinking and to what we allow to take residence in deep in our minds. The Bible says in Matthew 22 and 37, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your what? Say it again like you mean it. With all your mind." We're always praying for our souls, and we're praying for the strength to serve Him, but do we pay attention to our mind? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or cowardly, if you will, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, self-discipline here in this passage makes us understand that God made us a people in control. People who can govern who they are. And this not only our physical senses, but we are supposed to govern our minds as well. Other translations use self-discipline. They use the word self-control, which again better describes what God is expecting us as believers, how we should live. A people who not only control our physical senses, learn to do what is right physically, but also learn how to govern your mind appropriately. The King James Version in the same verse says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." Sound mind. To be of sound mind means to be complete of mind, means to be in control of mind, means to be thoughtful of mind and inquired in the mind, to be stable in mind. This is what God has given us. Again, when he sat down with them at this table, he brought the minds of the disciples to the table. Now, if you know anything about these men that walk with Christ, they too, I'm sure, had a truckload of memories and experiences in their minds. They had seen the chasings of them from unbelievers and the troubles of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Hellenistic Jews and everyone, the Roman government who didn't appreciate people of the way. They had seen how they had treated Jesus. They saw the disrespect. They saw the punishment. They saw the rejection. All these things. So you can imagine that when Jesus called them to sit at the table, Jesus knew that their minds could have easily been flooded with a whole bunch of things that they could have missed that moment with him. So when you do this, be thoughtful. Be in control of what you have in your head as you sit at this table with me. And we kind of giggle at the thought when I say, are you guys thinking of dinner already? Well, how long is this sermon going to be? There goes your mind. Can I tell you that the mind is probably the most attacked part of our faculty, our being, than anything else? We don't get sick every day. We don't struggle financially every day. But we do wrestle in our minds every moment, every day. At any given moment, anything can happen, and there is a wrestle in your mind. Francis Frangipane writes a book, The Battleground of the Mind. And he speaks about the battles that a person can have as the most ugly and most blood-ridden terrain in our existence when it comes to warring with the devil. The devil wants our minds every day. It's something that he would love to own over us. He would love to control your thinking, control the things that are constantly revolving in your head on a daily basis, because he knows that if he can fill your mind with sounds of discouragement, failure, evil, and negativity, soon enough, your physical sense will begin to function accordingly, depending on your thinking. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know how people sometimes say, well, I can't tell what he's thinking. And we spiritualize it. Well, we need some people say, well, I have the gift of discernment. And I believe that that's true. There's a gift of discernment. But, you know, sometimes you don't need the gift of discernment to find out how a person thinks. All you have to do is hang around with them for about 2 or 3 weeks. And you hear them speak. And you see them walk. And you know how they think. Amen? Yeah. It's as simple as that. Don't have to go into a prayer closet for 60 days to find out what this person or that person is thinking. All you have to do is fellowship with them just for a moment. And you'll find their thinking patterns. Why? Because the mind and those things that you allow to revolve in your mind on a daily basis soon enough will have its effect on your outer person, and you'll begin to respond accordingly. By some divine way, the invisible becomes visible. The invisible pattern of our thinking begins to spill over and affect our physical beings. No longer will you have to guess how people think or even what they're thinking at that moment. I'm sure at one time or the other, maybe your wife who has been with you for several years, you see something together and you turn around and goes, I know what you're thinking. You see a friend and you're looking at something or something happens and they have an assessment to make and all of a sudden you don't have to ask. But when they suggest what they were thinking, you said, I knew that. I knew that's exactly where you were going with this thing. Because the invisible becomes visible in just a moment's time. I'm trying to impress upon you this moment and this morning the importance of us governing what comes into our minds and the reason why I believe that Jesus would say, do this in remembrance of me to these men who have been possibly troubled their existence and their relationship with Christ. It's easy to assess that your life presently today is shaped because of how you think, what you allow yourself to think, and the memories you keep revolving in your mind. Our memories have great power. Many times they have the power to control us and dictate our actions in our present day, even though the experience was 20 years ago. There is power in memory. And they can come to you and they can have either a positive effect in who we are or a negative effect in who we are. Let me challenge you to this little thoughts. Have you ever all of a sudden at nothing started laughing? And people around you think you're crazy? Like, what's wrong with you? He goes, no, I was remembering that. Right? Happens to all of us. Or have you ever cried? You're driving in your car by yourself and all of a sudden, and the tears begin to flow, or you're in the middle of the night in your bed and you're laying there and all of a sudden you begin to wet your pillow with tears. Nothing happened. Everybody's asleep. But you remembered something. You remember the thought. Let it be something deep and warming, or let it be something that really affected your life, the passing of a loved one, whatever it is. But your memory begins to control who you are at that very moment, and you respond physically. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and gone, and you're actually blushing at 3 o'clock in the morning because you remember you did some silly thing and embarrassed yourself, or you said something out of step amongst the company of other people? You should have never said that, but now you can't get over it. You can't even sleep because you're thinking of that. It controls you. Sometimes you wake up in the middle or wake up in the morning, and that particular thought will govern your whole day. Sometimes you wake up and you have a bad memory, and you wake up mad with your spouse. And the poor spouse goes, what? I remember 30 years ago. Careful, brother. He better be. You understand what I'm saying this morning? I want you to learn this. This is going to transform your life. This is going to take all of us, if we allow it, to a better place in our walk with God. And it's going to take the hole that the devil has had for so many years in the grips of our minds. We've neglected taking care of our minds. But yet our minds are the most dangerous important things that we have next to our hearts. I said the Bible says to guard your hearts. Why? Because from the heart is the wellspring of life. Everything comes up from the heart, our mind, our thinking. There are people today in this world that are living low self-esteem lives. Guilty feelings flood them on a daily basis. They go about unable to do anything positive in their lives. They feel no good to themselves or others. They have no joy, no peace, no hope, no nothing. And you would think about a person like that, that maybe when you meet them for the first time during that day, that something just happened recently. But yet, what's driven their lives was a memory of yesterday, years ago. Talk to a young person, and you'll find a young person who has no desire for anything. Talk to a dad or a mom or an adult, and they have no desire, no self-esteem, no passion for anything in life. They just live their lives here in this world, just existing. And you wonder, what's wrong with this guy? Get alive. What's wrong? Motivate, brother. What's going on? Nothing. Did something just happen? I mean, somebody what? And when you dig a little deeper, you'll find out if they would open their heart to you, you'll find out that it's because when they were kids, they were called good for nothings. They were told time and time again that they would never accomplish anything in their lives. There are ladies who went through a bad situation in divorce, and today will no longer trust men because of the memory of what they went through in the beginning. Even though there's a man who wants to love you and take care of you, you have no trust. Vice versa as well for the man. Because of some ugly situation that broke them up initially years ago, no one is worthy of their trust anymore. So they live isolated lives, bitter. There's people that will refuse to talk to anybody. They live isolated lives. Even in the church, they walk in and walk out, talk to nobody. Why? Because I've been hurt before. The memory hurts too much. My mind, what goes up in my mind, is hurting me too much, and it's keeping me away from lowering my guard to love somebody, to talk to somebody, to be vulnerable to somebody. We coined that saying, the first time, shame on you. The second time, shame on me. Shame on me, why? Because I trusted you again. Where does all that come from? Now, you might be thinking I'm talking about the unbelieving world. No, I'm talking about Christians today. Living in that prison. Living in the prison of those revolving, victimizing thoughts and memories. The mind is important to Christ. The Lord knew that the devil would always be after our thinking, ladies and gentlemen. He would always be looking for a way to imprison us in our minds. He has already attacked us physically. You have the cancers and the diabetes and the high blood pressures and all these things that ail the human body. He has attacked the human body massively. The buildings that are being built in this world more frequently are hospitals because people are always getting sick in their bodies. Half, more than the great majority of the United States lives on medications trying to appease the pains they're going through because our bodies are hurt. They've been attacked by the enemy in sickness and illness. We've been attacked today. The church is being attacked spiritually. We have so many false doctrines in this world today. So many lying spirits that are speaking into the lives of people, or even from pulpits, becoming perverted and preaching twisted doctrines of devils. We've been attacked in every way. The devil does not sleep, trying to do a work, all because he wants to motivate the thinking patterns of people and put them in a spiritual prison. Well, we pray for these things, but we seldom pray for those who are being attacked mentally and who have simply learned how to live and appease those evil thoughts even in the church. And because of that, you're not enjoying your walk with God. I've counseled many Christians in the past close to 40 years of ministry. And I find that many of the problems, even in our marriages today, our relationships today, have nothing to do with what is presently happening in their home now. What's happening in their home now is a result of something they've been carrying for a long time. See, the devil knows if he can imprison your mind and your thinking, he knows if he can hold your present thinking, you'll never see your future in Christ. You'll never see what God has for you. He knows that you'll live a life that is hopeless, helpless, paralyzed in the pit of failure and disappointment all of your life. People falling apart all the time because of this. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that our minds is something the Lord would have us to pay attention to today and every day. To guard ourselves against the oppression of bad thinking. The depression of past memories that are no good for you. You may be suffering things in your life, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your walk with God. Because of things that you are allowing to live and to fester in your mind, set an infection that comes against the perfect will of God. The Bible says that you and I should not conform to the pattern of this world. The Bible says that we should look and seek renewal. We should look for transformation by the renewal of our minds. To stand up and fight against this enemy warfare that wrestles on a daily basis for our minds. I'm going to tell you that in this day and age, and more so now, there is a great battle in the thoughts of people. There always has, I'm sure. But for some reason, I believe God sets out a clarion call to wake us up, especially now, because there's a great battle going on for all of us. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. That's not something that just simply recommended. If you want to, whatever, you know, you can do. No, he said, don't be conformed to this world. There's a great danger when you conform to this world. And what you lose is following as we read. Let me read it to you again. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test, listen carefully, and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know what that easily means? Not hard to decipher. That unless you take govern of your mind, unless you learn to tell your mind, that's not good thinking, get out. When you address a memory in your mind, you know it's destroying some relationship or destroying something in your life, that you be keen and aware, sober, to say, hey, that memory is bringing me destruction, get out in Jesus' name. Unless you do that, you will never... His words, not mine. You won't be able to ever test and approve of what is good for you in Christ. You'll never be able to enjoy your walk with salvation. You'll never be able to enjoy Christ and the fullness thereof. As we give the devil control of our minds, he will destroy us. Remember, that's his work, to come kill, steal, and what? Destroy. If you give him your mind and allow him to fester in your mind and to take residence there with evil thoughts, it can make you jealous in a moment with just a thought. It can make you angry in a moment if you let that thought come in. It can make you cowardly. It can make you this and the other. Very sensitive, all in a thought. The power of the mind. If the devil can control that, you'll never be able to test the true things of God. He'll always control them. He'll never allow you to walk in the peace and the joy of salvation. The Lord wants us to learn how to stand against the negativity the devil can impress upon us. All the things that he brings through the vehicle of our thinking, God wants us to filter through them and to take them to him. When you allow God to take control of your thinking and take the rice from the devil in your mind to get out from all that ugliness, you will begin to live in a different spectrum. Listen to what the Bible says. The Hebrew writer says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. You know what it means to fix. It means to screw in, to weld down, to make them immovable. To nail it. Do whatever you can do. Stick it. Get the finest glue you can and stick it to Christ. Be premeditated with your thoughts and give them to the Lord. God takes these things very seriously. He speaks to us about our thoughts with a certain violence. I told the Spanish church this morning, I said, una violencia que el Señor quiere de nosotros. Now, we're not supposed to be a violent people, but there are certain things that you have to get up in the wrath of God against to fight. Amen? You never talk conversation. I laugh when I see preachers on television get somebody demon-possessed and they sit down. And so what university do you go to? And what city do you come from? He's having a conversation with Satan, by the way. You know, Jesus never conversed with devils. Never did. He always said, shut up, get out. Simple as that. I have no time to find out your pedigree. I have no time to find out if you have a diploma or not, or how many you are. I have no need. All I know is that you're in the way, get out. No nonsense. Amen? But you cannot paddywhack, not even with your thoughts. Listen to the scripture. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Some of us need to mark this down in our Bibles or flag them on your phone or whatever it is that you're using as a Bible today. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Do you have time for this morning? Are you okay, church? Amen? Your minds are going to be free this morning. Yeah, you're going to look at a different color in this world. You're going to look at things differently when you look through the eyes of Christ. Did you know that you have the mind of Christ when you got saved? Amen? You have no business sharing that mind of Christ with the devil. Listen to what the Bible says. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. It's all right here. He's talking about here. This whole thing is all about here. This is shoulders and head up. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Here comes the violent attitude. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. Captive. That means to shackle it. That means that you've been given a key, a prison, where you can put these things in jail. That when you see something come and usurp your mind and try to take over of the things of God in your mind, that you have the authority in Christ to take the thought, turn him around, handcuff it, put it in prison, and give it to Jesus. Every single thought. Every single thought. This is destroying my marriage. Get out. Put it in prison. Give it to God. Listen to what it says. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, this even gets uglier. Being ready to punish. Being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Anything that comes to get in the way of your thinking in Christ that is causing you to live according to the perfect will of God, you see something want to take a shortcut, you say, hey, that's not the way to Calvary. That's not the way to heaven. Well, did God indeed say that you could not eat of that tree? They should have taken the devil's mouth captive. And we lack that sometimes. After we're doing everything we can to fulfill the will of God and to serve Him in the completeness of obedience as best as we can, you have those things that come to trifle us, to come to get in the way. We have authority, the Bible says, to punish it. To punish it. To not be nice to it. Some of us are too nice with ugly memories. Some of us can be too kind to things that are destroying your life today. God wants you to punish it. To speak to it with a command. And to say, this is my head and the mind of Christ dwells here. You have no occupation in this place. Get out. But you're throwing me out. I don't care. Get out. Only then, the Bible says, we will be able to allow a different power to step into your life. Those negative thoughts go away, which rob you of your joy in your walk with God. And thoughts of enrichment, joy, come to fill your heart and your life. You become a people of a different circle. You become the group of that circle of people that say, I am more than an overcomer. You become a part of that group of people that circle together and say, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. You become that circle of people who can say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. A different way of thinking. When we allow God to take residence and throw the devil out. People get sick just by thinking. God maybe has been wanting to heal some of us, but we're so glued to the thought that we are indeed sick. That could very well be the reason we continue in that way. And God wants us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, every single one of us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:3 again, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We don't. That's something that church should never forget. That's something you should never forget as a believer this morning, that we're not like the rest of the world. We're not supposed to think the way they think. We have the mind of Christ. We think differently. We handle our business differently than those in the unbelieving world. And the weapons that we have to fight is not going to some 12-step program. It's not taking Vicodin so you can sleep at night because of your thoughts. That's why we have so many drug-infested Americans in this world. We're all on drugs. Some of us to put us to sleep. Some of us is to wake us up. Some is to make us laugh. And some of us to make us cry. And our blood is infused with all these drugs, all because they're trying to manipulate and to handle what we're complaining about, our minds. I just keep thinking. Oh, here, take this pill. The next thing you know, you're 9 hours in bed. Not drinking, not thinking anything. But did that solve your problem? I promise you that the moment you wake up, the devil's going to be right there going, good morning. Ready for another ride? This world can teach you how to appease things like that. Jesus gives us the authority to cast it out. There's no recovering anything in Jesus. Amen? Yeah, we learn to be kind with addictions. He's a recovering this and a recovering that. You're not going to be a recovering nothing when it comes to Jesus. You'll be a born again, washed in the blood believer on your way to heaven with no hesitation at all. We have privileges in the Lord. We demolish arguments. Again, the Bible says, every pretension that sets up against the knowledge of God, and we take it captive, every thought. We have that authority, ladies and gentlemen. As we come to this table, the Lord says to us all, bring your thoughts. Bring your thinking. You see, because you're bringing your saved person, your saved soul, your saved spirit, your saved everything under the Lord. But you might agree with me, ladies and gentlemen, if we're honest with each other, that sometimes we'll go to communion and we'll take communion, but yet our minds are completely somewhere else. We could be sitting in church, and God could be speaking to your life and promising you the things that you've been praying for, and you missed them because your mind is somewhere else in Mission, Texas. Your mind is in California somewhere. It's somewhere else except in the presence of the Lord. Philippians 4 and 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Here's the antidote. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here comes the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your what?
Minds.
And your minds. So what do I do? How do I get there? Well, if you keep reading, you'll find out the prescription. It's time we take Christ's prescription. He says, finally, brothers, if you want to get fixed from this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. So that means it gives us a sense of discernment that when you go through something negative, you say, is that honorable? No. Then shut up. Is that praiseworthy? No. Then get out. Is that beneficial to my life and my walk with God? No. Then be quiet. Is this thought loving? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it true? Is it lovely? No, then get out. We need to pay attention to our minds. And you're going to find that the moment that we do that, ladies and gentlemen, your life is going to bloom. Because now what flows from within you, remember the initial truth that we discovered is that if you allow a thought to fester in your mind long enough, you will begin to act accordingly in time. Yes? It's true, isn't it? This is not a fable. This is not philosophy here. This is a matter of fact. This is witness. This is seen in us. You are who you think. That's not a lie. That's the word of God. You are who you think. If you think long enough about that, you will become what you think. And so when you allow God to come and fill you with who you really are in Him, your walk will begin to mold again. Your exterior begin to act accordingly, and you'll be able to walk in the salvation of Christ on a daily basis. That's when mountains are moved, and that's where promises are fulfilled. That's where joy is real. The joy of salvation becomes so real deep within us. But Pastor, what should I think about? What then? I wouldn't know where to start. Well, let me just give you real quick ideas for the next 2 minutes. One, I want you to think about why Jesus came to this world. When you have nothing to think about and things are plaguing your mind, why don't you think about why He came? And you'll find that the answer is simple. It's because He loved you. I told the church this morning, I said, you know, it's incredible that in this world we have people who idolize so many people. They try to get their attention. People will travel all over the world to go watch a sports game because they really enjoy this popular athlete. And they can stand by the bleachers and here comes Kobe Bryant or whoever it is that you like. Well, you can't like him anymore, can you? Poor thing. God, that was a bad guy to bring up, wasn't it? Did that kill my sermon? Oh, killed my sermon. Stop thinking that way. But here you are reaching out. And the basketball player. You don't even exist. And here comes the football player. completely ignores you. You don't even exist. You're wearing the jerseys and the caps and the tennis, and they don't even care. You can't get the attention of someone that big. You see, the president, he's covered by 50 cars. You'll never be able to touch a person like that. A prince, a queen, a king, you'll never touch them in this world. But I want you to think about for a moment that someone who is greater than any king you could ever imagine, someone whose throne is the highest that anyone could ever have, one whose ability is so great that he created everything that is, he gave you his attention. Even if his agenda on a daily basis, yes, even if his agenda on a daily basis has to do a million, because God is doing a million things. He multitasks like nobody. He's doing a million things in this world. Yet, if you'll just call him, he'll say yes. Never get a busy signal on his phone. So the next time you get a little distraught, think about why he came. He came because he loved you. Secondly, think about where you were and where you are. Very few people know so too much about me other than what I share on occasion or two from this pulpit. But if I think about my yesterday long enough, I'll get depressed. Because I was in no good place. If I could think of the memories that I have for yesterday, it's enough to start a boohoo contest here. Poor me. I read this passage this morning. And I said, you want to hear my testimony? I'll give it to you in just in a couple of verses. This is my testimony. If it's yours, you can say amen if you agree. But if not, let it just be me. At one time, you were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. You lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's my testimony. That's where I was when he found me. But if you ask me where I am today, you can read the rest of my testimony. And it says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved you. Not because of righteous things you had done, but because of his mercy. You want to be sad? Sure, think about who you were before Christ. But you want to be happy? Think about yourself raising hands to a holy God and on your way to heaven. Amen. I won't tell you too much of where I was, but I'll tell you what, I've got a whole bunch to say, and I'm keeping you still a little bit late here. I've got a whole bunch to say about where I'm going, of where I am now. That's a wonderful thought for me. I don't care if the world despises you, rejects you, doesn't like you, doesn't matter. You just don't know where I was and where I am now because of him. If you did, you'd have something to celebrate about this morning. Amen? You think about what he gave for you. We're celebrating communion this morning. We're about to do that in just a couple of minutes. The Bible says that very rarely will anybody give anything for a bad guy, and not even for a good guy. And God knows we weren't good guys. But the Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us that even while we were absolutely worthless in sin, he loved us so to give his life. When the devil tries to condemn you and thoughts of negativity come into your mind and they begin to tell you, some of us have been trying to walk with God and we fail time and time again, and it's been a time of getting up and walking and slipping and walking and walking. You keep going. You get up again and keep walking. And the devil will come to those who fail more frequently than others, and say, you'll never get it right. You're a failure, man. Everybody knows you fail all the time. Just remind the devil and say, excuse me, did he die for you? I don't think so. He died for me. So I'm keep going. Get behind me, Satan. And let those thoughts of condemnation get away from you. And know that the price that he paid, no one else will ever pay. He paid an extraordinary price for you that no one could ever buy you back. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 18 and on, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. That's what you're worth. I want you to think about that. You want to be sorry about that? You want to be depressed about that? The fact that you are the most priceless jewel. You see, and Christ, Jesus, the Lord, is not a bad investor. He doesn't throw his money away. He's the one that gave us the parable of the sower. So he knows about the economy and finances. He knows about sowing and reaping. He knows about these things. He wrote the book. He's not a bad investor. And by no means does he consider you a bad investment. You are a priceless gem to him. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to be happy for. That while this world is so much trying to humiliate and to bring you down and to destroy us with negative thinking, to make you an ugly person because you allow those thoughts to completely fester your mind with infections of negativity and ugliness and jealousies and hatreds and all these ugly things. Take them captive, throw them out, and fill your mind with the fact that you are a priceless pearl to Christ. That he loves you enough to die for you. John chapter 14 verse 1 says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your minds be troubled. Remember, the heart is the wellspring. So if he talks about the heart being troubled, everything about you is troubled, even your mind. Don't let your minds, your hearts be troubled. This is what negative thinking will do to you. It will trouble your heart. If you don't take reign of your mind, you're going to live a troubled life. You will never again, I tell you, rejoice in the salvation of God. Be positive in your heart. And I'm not simply talking about positive thinking. I'm talking about believing and trusting in absolute truth. I'm talking about a matter of fact, not philosophy. Now, I'm not talking about the little train that thought he could. Much more than that. But he says, let your hearts not be troubled. He said, trust in God. Trust also in me. Learn to believe in me. When these things come to attack you, trust me. Get that stuff out. Let me fill you with the truth. And the truth is this. That in my Father's house there are many mansions. If they were not so, I'd never lie to you. I would have told you if it wasn't true. I'm not a liar. In my Father's house there are many mansions. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return so that where I am, you may be also. So you want a happy thought this morning? As you come to this table? This depressed world that we live in today, where the government is going bad, where the nations are at war, where the economy is bad, where everything seems to be going haywire, we can rejoice in the fact that we are pilgrims in this world. And there awaits for us a city whose builder is God. We're going to be with him in glory. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Ushers, if you would come, please. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. I guess I could word it this way. Jesus said, when you do this, do it with total attention. Do it with total understanding. Don't let your mind run off with you elsewhere where it's not beneficial. Bring your mind to the table. Think of you and me. Think of what we have together. You may go ahead, ushers, if you would, begin to pass them out now. Think of you and me in our relationship. Think about that. I know you disciples have been seeing a lot of things. You've seen how they treated me, Jesus is thinking, saying. You've seen them spit at me and hate me and throw us out of town. You've been with me in the cold nights outside. You've heard the rejecting words of the city, of people mocking us, and you've been alongside with me. I know. Jesus knew that all those guys that were with him at this table, those disciples, those followers of him, had enough experience in life to even have their own minds filled with stuff that could have been in the way of that moment of intimacy with God. So he said, when you take this bread and you take this drink, do it soberly. Do it knowing that you and I are together for the long haul. That this is a temporary snack we're having here. Right now we're having lunch together, but our relationship is eternal here. Think about that. Don't worry about the world that we're living in. Don't engage in your mind with all these negative things in this world. Regardless of what you've been fed through experience, regardless of what people have been trying to speak to your mind and how worthless you are and how unaccomplished and what a failure and how we can't use you and how we can't this or the other, forget all that. Think about me and you. You have everything with me. With God, we lack absolutely no good thing. We have all things in Christ. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, this morning as we prepare to get this meal, I remind you, Jesus says to you, do this in remembrance of me. Watch your thinking. You want to really prove and try and live salvation? Then don't let anything get in the way in your mind to destroy that walk with you and me. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, the apostle said, again, I say to you, rejoice.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.